Let's read. Brother Drone's going to help me today. Start reading in verse 3, if you would.
Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day.
Okay, before we continue to read, I want us to pray. And I want to preach to you on the topic. He made it personal. And I want us to go ahead and pray for us, Brother Troy.
Name. We ask that you speak in this place to each and every one of us what we need to hear from you. God, I pray that you use our pastor to deliver this word exactly how you've called him to deliver it today, Lord Jesus. We pray that he delivers it so that somebody can have the desire in their heart to be filled or refilled with your spirit before they leave this place. God, I pray that all people hear when they speak. It's your voice speaking to them and tugging on their hearts. We need to hear from you and see your face today. Don't let this be just an ordinary service in Jesus' name, but let us leave here touched and renewed.
Hallelujah.
And restored in
Hallelujah.
Your spirit in Jesus' name.
Amen. You can be seated. Before I go on, this second week of April, I believe it is going to be the 15th. We're going to be getting you a letter out. Dr. Hughes is going to be with us, and we're going to have a marriage roundtable. And someone said they were coming. Their spouse said, do we have marital problems? And I looked at them and I said, no, you don't wait until the car is broke to fix it, to maintain it. You maintain it before it breaks. Amen. So that's what it'll be about. You will love him if you've not heard him yet. He ministers to family, does counseling all over the country. He's one of a kind, a rarity. So go ahead and continue to read for us in verse 5, Brother Jerome.
God called the light.
I'm sorry, verse 6.
Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made a firmament. And God divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament.
Okay, so what I want to do here is I want to tell you a story, and I want to title it Once Upon a Time. And as Brother Jerome reads, I want you to picture yourself preparing the nursery for the baby. And I want you to picture yourself laying out the crib and putting the lights. Maybe you hang some sparkly things from the ceiling. Maybe you have a night light. However you choose, you want to decorate that nursery. It's going to be your story today, and that's what I want you to see. Because as the Lord created creation, he, in essence, began to tell a story. And when I read these verses, I see the Lord paying such careful detail to everything that he did. Very meticulously separating night and day, light and darkness, which are two separate things, as you can read here. And as he puts plant life and birds in the air and the fish in the sea, it's a perfect master plan for his creation, for the ultimate nursery, the first nursery of all time. Go ahead and read.
And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the day land, the dry land, earth, and the gathered together water he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, and yield seed, and the fruit trees yield fruit according to its kind. Those seeds in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yield seed according to its kind, and the tree that yield fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw it was good.
So he saw that it was good. So each step of this creation, he steps back and he looks at it. And he ponders it and he says, I like that. It's all coming together just the way I planned. Very important that you catch this. Go ahead.
So the evening and the morning for the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for the days and the years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the day, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above each across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great seas, sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast on the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over every fish of the sea and over every bird of the air and over every cattle of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
Now, there's always, I don't want to detour, but there's always a lot of confusion on this verse. People use verse 26 to confirm that there were three in heaven. It's not true. Doesn't exist. It's not biblical. Look at me. He said, let us make man in our image. What does that mean? Well, number one, we can say that he looked with foresight into the future when he saw Christ. You say, how can you prove that? The very next verse. That's where you change. And God created man in his own image. You cannot take one verse and write scripture with it. You got to be able to explain every single verse. And so from my perspective in trying to understand why God would double speak, which he does not, and why the scriptures would conflict, which they do not, he said, let us make man in our image. He was looking with all foresight because God sees the beginning to the end. Is there anybody that would disagree with that? And he sees Christ because God does not have an image, except the Bible says that Jesus was the invisible image of a living God. So the only image that we can properly put together, and listen to me, you can dig your feet in all you want. You can be right. You can be wrong, and you can die that way in stubbornness. Stubbornness will get nobody to heaven. But when you look at the text, it's very clear. And God created man in his own image. Go ahead and read.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning, that was the sixth day.
He saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was good. Every detail, I realize this may be boring to you, but it's so unboring to God that he carefully made sure that it was written, that generations would be able to understand creation. And I'm going to help you understand creation and salvation today in a way that you probably have never heard it. And so as God prepares, what is he doing? He's preparing the garden for creation. He's preparing the nursery for the first two babies that would come into this world. And as any good parent would, he was very careful on how he prepared it. And he separated light and darkness. He put the stars in the skies, and he put the sun there so you could see by day and the moon by night. And he created the ground and beautiful grass, and he began to put animals there, and he implanted them into the earth, something that everybody loves. And we love to snuggle with polar bears now and monkeys, and so we get eaten by them. But in the garden, it wasn't so. And so he made everything as perfect as it could be. Why? In preparation for mankind. In preparation to take humanity and give him a perfect place, as every parent wants to do. There's not a parent alive that doesn't want to give their child a perfect habitation, if you please. Our problem is we think that only comes on Christmases and birthdays. We think the more we buy, the happier they'll be. Our homes can be a wreck. They can be divided. They can be a train wreck. But as long as we get them more gifts for Christmas, they'll be okay. And it isn't so. God didn't buy gifts. He created a perfect habitation for his creation, for mankind. Are you with me? The excitement, I believe there was excitement in every detail and anticipation on God's behalf. The Bible said he looked back periodically through the creation. He said, it's good. I like it. It's coming together exactly as I envisioned. It's exactly what I want. Now we get ourselves to chapter 3, verse 21. I'm not going to go ahead and spend time talking to you about the sin of Adam and Eve, but I am going to talk to you about the separation, because that is the important aspect here. So in verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And I just like to always point this out in a world where no clothes is popular. God did not send them out of the garden in their fig leaves covering. He didn't think it was appropriate. And he said, I'm going to clothe you, and you're going to put some clothes on before you walk out the house. Hold on. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. I'm going to explain that in a minute. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. If you don't slow down enough to understand exactly what's happening, you'll miss the entire point of salvation and the whole new birth experience. You'll misunderstand everything. First of all, God created Adam and Eve in innocence. They were as babies. That's why the Bible said they did not know their nakedness. They did not understand. They were in complete innocence. God made this beautiful nursery for them that they would grow up in. And it was only after sin had come in, because of whatever you want to justify it by, that God could not have them in the garden any longer. He says, first of all, he said, they have become like one of us to know good and evil. What that means is now, because they have left the stage of innocence, and now they understand good and evil, bad and good, right and wrong, which they were not supposed to understand in the beginning. Let me say it to you this way. They were created in innocence, so they did not have to make the choice of right and wrong. But when they partook of what they were not supposed to partake of, well, if God didn't put marijuana here, why would it be here if I wasn't supposed to smoke it? The same reason he put the tree in the garden, they weren't supposed to partake of it. Because some things God says you shouldn't touch it, just because I said so. Some things are there to keep you honest and to keep you right. It's all right. I know people get all uptight when you start talking about their pot. I understand that. Because now the experts said that it's good for me and it helps me. The experts also said that 7 chemical train cars in East Palestine blowing, hold on a second, blowing plumes of smoke 1,000 feet in the air. It's of no use. It's of no harm to you. But if you don't wear a mask, people will die. Hold on a second. I'm just trying to explain to you what the experts say. And I'm going to tell you what God says. Sometimes he puts things that, hey, they're poisonous berries. Have you eaten those? I don't want to get off topic. But what I am saying is when they partook of the tree, now their eyes were opened and they understood something they were not supposed to understand, right and wrong, good and evil. And so the Lord said, we got to get them out of this place, because if we don't, what they're going to do is they're now going to partake of the tree of life. Do you even understand what that means? I'm going to tell you this morning what it means. God said if they partake of the tree of life, they'll live forever in their sin. And there will be no hope of reconciliation. That's why he had to remove them from the garden. They could not stay there, because if they took from one tree, they'd take from another. If you'll defy God here, you'll defy God there. And if you'll be disobedient over here, you'll be disobedient over there. Come on, somebody. Don't get all worked up over the marijuana comment. Just hang with me. I want you to understand what's happening here this morning. So you see, God had to remove them from the garden because of their sin, and because they now understood right and wrong, which they were not created to have any understanding of good and evil. But now because they did, he said, if they partake of the tree of life, he said, they're going to live forever in their sin, and there will be no hope of redemption and restoration. So God had to remove them from the garden. You see, now man knew how to distinguish between good and evil, and he was no longer in the innocence that God created him in. And so they would be inclined to eat from the tree of life that forced God to drive them out of the garden, just as the prodigal father, the prodigal's father, let his son go. He had to come to a place where he had to release him into his own desires. God will release you to fulfill the desires of your flesh if you please. He'll not force anything upon you. And I'm going to tell you this, a sinner's prayer alone will not fix it all. That is not the plan of God. That is not the plan of God. And I'm going to prove it to you today. Now, see, let me just take a second. Now, see, that's frustrating to some people. You know why? So you're going to tell me I just can't go ahead and pray the sinner's prayer and I can live however I want the rest of my life? I want to be saved? You don't like to hear that. I understand. You don't like to hear that there's got to be accountability in your walk with God. You don't like to hear there's got to be righteousness in your walk with God. You don't want to hear that you can't just live any old way. Well, I'm here to tell you today you can't. Because listen to me now. If you live that way, then you have defied everything that the Lord set in motion the moment he removed Adam and Eve from the garden. Now watch this. It's a plan. It's a master plan. So he drove them out of the garden. Job 18 and 18. Bildad, when he was speaking to Job, he said this: he shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of this world. In one respect, that's what God did. He drove them, the Bible says, from the garden. And then he put the cherubims and the flaming sword. It doesn't sound very nice. Well, that's because we live in 2023. 100 years ago, people actually believed in discipline. They believed in not letting your kids live any old way and do whatever they want to do. And they didn't feel sorry for them because they had to punish them. And they didn't use timeouts. They used real discipline. I know. Now I got the timeout people upset at me too. Well, how's the timeouts working for you? We got 30% of our kids in this country on antidepressants. In some form of medication or another, something close to 40% now has some form of disorder that they're being medicated for. It might be close to 50. How are these things working for us? So he drove them out. Bildad described that driving out when speaking to Job as being driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. In one respect, that's exactly what happened. But God could, watch this, as he did the angels, he could cast them out if he pleased. He could have sent Adam and Eve straight to hell, but he did not. He did it to the angels. He cast them right out. Their fate was sealed the moment he cast them out of heaven. But for Adam and Eve, their fate was not sealed. That's what the journey just begins. And so he was sent to a place, Adam was, of toil, but not to a place of torment. What was that for? It was to humble him in time. The flaming swords would prevent Adam and Eve from taking back their place in the garden. Do you understand what that means? That means you can't just stroll back in and act as if nothing ever happened. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'll get into the New Testament and the blood. You just got to give me a few minutes. But he's saying, you're out. He goes, you can't just undo what you've done. Listen to me now. You can't just live in sin and unrighteousness and just pretend like it doesn't exist when you show up in church. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But God needs us to understand what true repentance is all about. He wants us to understand what it really means to turn from that wicked life and give ourselves to the Lord. You can't just go back and forth. Oh, come on, somebody. You can't just go back and forth. You can't come to church and worship God and go home and live in sin again. And then come back on Wednesday night and pray through and go back and live in sin again. God said, I'll put these swords here and these cherubim to let you know you cannot just come and go into this thing. And so it could only, watch this, it could only be restored once the relationship was reconciled. But that couldn't happen just yet. Man was now in rebellion against God, and the way of life was shut up. We don't understand what rebellion against God is. Rebellion against God is knowing what this word says and choosing to do the opposite. That's rebellion. Rebellion against God was you can eat of every tree, but of the tree of good and evil you cannot eat. Or in that day that you eat, you will surely die. And when they chose to listen to the voice of another rather than the voice of God, they entered into rebellion. And you cannot have, listen to me, you can, oh, come on somebody, you cannot have a relationship with Jesus. And you cannot have fellowship with God if you are in rebellion. It is not possible. And so the first covenant, it was truly and irreparably broken. And the curse of God was in full force on humanity. When we get to Romans chapter 5, we begin to see what I have dubbed the master's plan. I'm going to read in the Amplified these four verses that I want to read because it will just be a little more simpler for you to grasp. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, isn't it amazing how much damage one man's decisions can do? We would love to act as if our decisions don't affect anybody, but they affect everybody around us. Because of, now ladies, now, I know we go back and forth week after week. Sometimes you want to stone me after service. Sometimes you want to hug me. You're going to want to hug me today because it did not say just as sin came into the world through one woman. It said through one man because he is the priest of his home and he is responsible for what happens in his household. And death through sin. There's no way around it. So death spread to all people. And it says in parentheses, no one being able to stop it or escape its power because they all sinned. Sin was committed in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anybody. So before the law, you could sin. This is why Adam didn't go straight to hell. Because there was no law, there was the word, but God did not give law for man to live by. And so before the law, you could sin and you'd still be, okay. You still have a way of escape. So God brings the law. Why does God bring the law? Because what we don't understand, and I think sometimes we don't want to believe it or grasp it, especially when the day and hour that we live in, where nobody's accountable for anybody's actions. Somebody's always responsible for it. It's just not me. They made me mad. They made me upset. They made me do it. They told me to do it. Ultimately, guess what? It's your choice. So when the law comes, now law becomes a guide. And law gives us an opportunity to follow it or to rebel against it. It's just like our homes. We have do's and don'ts for our children. If you violate that, then there's consequences. Well, that used to be. I know it doesn't happen anymore. I'm just saying it used to be. I told one of my boys who I love so much, I'm giving you this liberty and this leeway. If I find out you violated my law, I didn't use that word, but that's what it is. Never happen again. And don't think I won't find out. Because I got eyes and ears everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. So sin was committed in the world before the law, so it was sin. But there was no law to regulate it. And so, but sin is not charged when there is no law. Yet death ruled over mankind from Adam to Moses, because Adam was the first sin and Moses was the first lawgiver. Even over those who had not sinned as Adam did. Adam is a type of him, which is Christ, who was to come, but it was in reverse, if you please. And verse 19 says, "For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him." So sin came into the world by Adam and spread to all of humanity like a virus. There's always been sin, but they were covered by their innocence. How many of you wish you had the days where you didn't have the responsibilities you didn't have? When you were 14, you couldn't wait to get out on your own. When you're out on your own, you wish you were 14 again. I'd rather live by your few petty little rules and have to worry about living every day and sustaining those around me and then understanding the responsibility of raising up others up in my household and taking care of them and providing for them, protecting them. It's responsibility. And so there's always been sin, but Adam and Eve were covered by the innocence. But once they sinned, it was necessary for God to give law. So mankind had a benchmark, and we had an opportunity to choose righteousness. Listen to me. It's a choice. Everything you do in this life is a choice. You choose to be disobedient to the law or the word of God, or you choose to be obedient and live in righteousness. That's it. It's a choice. But understand this. Are you with me? Am I boring you? Understand this. It was this choice. Watch this. God had all these plans. I've often thought, and I've shared this with you before, my mind don't work like everybody else's. And I often think about those who have been arrested or put to death or put in prison for life, or they're on death row for heinous, hideous crimes. And I often think about what their mother thought when they held them in their arms as a baby, and the ambitions and the dreams that they had for that child. I saw a picture of Hitler when he was about 3 or 4 years old in a little suit and tie, a little bow tie. He looked like just an innocent little boy. And I wonder, what did his mother think he would grow up to be? So when God created the heavens and the earth, he had a plan and a vision for his children. They would live in this place of perfect bliss and happiness and joy. And I will provide everything for them. Our problem is we don't want God providing. We want to provide for our own, because we want things that God doesn't want us to have. He never put McDonald's in the garden. Why? He knew we'd all become overweight. That's why. And we'd have high cholesterol. That's just a reality. He didn't have mocha lattes in there either. That's unbelievable. That's a whole story. So Adam and Eve choose to disobey God. which forces God to separate them. Now listen to me. I need you to hear me. You cannot live in sin and be in unity with God. You cannot. You don't have to be perfect. We're not talking about perfection. We're talking about life choices, decisions. They made a decision, and because God is truth and righteousness embodiment, God said, I cannot fellowship with you any longer. You now are no longer what I created you to be. I've got to put you out. And when God put them out, he made a way so they couldn't go back and forth. Can't do that. But then God began to put this master plan together. And what was the master plan about? It was about reunification. And what we just read in Romans was the path to reunification. Now let me tell you what reunification means so you understand. It means, what do I do with my definition here? Hold on. The process of unifying or uniting. Now, I need you to understand this process. So through Christ's obedience, he begins the process, not a one-time thing. The process, the path to reunify humanity with God. To make us as they were created in the garden. And so it's a process. And so through Jesus' obedience, through his death, his burial and his resurrection, that now paved the path for us to be reunified with him. But that is not reconciled with him. They are two distinctly different things. And so, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. You bored? Acts 1 and 4. I still got a reader up here. Read that for me, somebody.
Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Now here we go. Jesus is ready to finish what he started. And before he ascends into heaven, he tells the disciples, I want you to go into Jerusalem. And I want you to wait in the upper room. And I want you to stay there. God, we ADD couldn't have been a thing back then. They'd all died in those 7-8 days there. They had no iPads. They had no Palm Pods, no cell phone video games. They probably didn't even have board games. He said, wait. Now watch this. The obedience of one sometimes makes a way for many. And so for those approximately 120 people, he had to count on their obedience because he was giving instructions. Now listen. If you have kids and you ever give instructions and then you leave, all you can do is pray to God they carry out your orders. And he left believing that these individuals would go into the upper room and they would stay there as he commanded them. And they would wait until this promise of the Father would come. They didn't recognize it. It hadn't happened before. It hadn't come. No, when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost at that moment. That was prophecy. That's why those same individuals that he breathed on, he sent into the upper room. That was when that prophecy would be fulfilled. He told them, go and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, the Spirit shall be poured out upon all flesh. Peter preached after Pentecost, the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now, I know some of you don't like Acts, so if you want, maybe turn to your neighbor, ask him to help you tear it out, because it might not work well for you. All, say it with me loud. All were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now listen to me. When he sent those 120 in the upper room, they were about ready to finish the plan. And they got, Jesus had already begun the path to reunification. But now he was ready to set in plan the reconciliation. Where humanity would now be reconciled to God. You're not getting it yet. I understand that. The moment Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden because of their sin, they were separated from God. God was still there. God still spoke. God was still omnipresent. But because of their sin, they were disunified with Him. And He had to put a plan in place that would allow mankind to be reunified with Him. The reconciliation and the reunification are a part of God's plan. But you can be reconciled. That does not mean you're reunified, if you please. You can be, watch this, you can be reunified. You can begin the process of unifying or uniting, but that is not reconciliation. And so now he sends them into the upper room, and now he begins the process of reconciliation. And the Holy Ghost was poured out, the scripture says, on all 120 that were in the upper room. Peter begins to preach, and he said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. He said, this is what Joel prophesied about. This is it. He said, in the last days, say the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even upon your handmaidens and your men servants will I pour out of my Spirit. So let me explain that to you. He said it won't just be men, but it'll be women also. Not just the parents, but the children also. Every age, your old men who are past their prime and your young men who have little experience of heavenly things. He said, on everybody, I will pour out my Spirit. Why would you not want to let God do what He wants to do? Why would you not let God reunify mankind unto Himself? Now listen to me. To be filled. Now, I'm going to talk to some of you who have made this all about tongues. Because you got people who want to be in control of their lives. And I say this respectfully. And they don't want to surrender to God. And you've not surrendered to God. You can't fight God and fight His word and surrender to Him. And so what they want to do is they always want to make it about tongues. You tell me I got to speak in tongues or I ain't saved? That's the dumbest question one could ever ask. Now I know they say there are no dumb questions, but that's a dumb one. I love you, but that's a dumb question. You know what that question is? That question is a rebellion question. That's a challenging question. Come on up, honey, and play for me if you would, because I'll finish what I've started. I'm not afraid. Truth is truth, and I love truth. Now watch this. You just missed everything about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If your question is, you tell me you got to speak in tongues to be saved? I could say to you, you tell me you got to pray a sinner's prayer to be saved? I could say that if I wanted to. I wouldn't. I think you should pray a sinner's prayer. That is your path of reconciliation. That's not the reunification. You can't unify yourself with God. Only He can reunify us with Him. Now watch this. Watch this. While Jesus was on this earth, what would you say if I told you He was handicapped? I'll prove it to you. I'm not afraid. He was handicapped. You know why He was handicapped? I need 12 people to come on up here. Hopefully you know how to count. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. So here we got. We got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I need two more. Two more. It can be ladies too. I mean, there were. Okay, now are we over 12 now? Somebody got to sit. Okay, we'll sit. No, you can't get back up here, Patrick. You can't have two people sit down. Come on. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Go sit down, Patrick. Jesus was handicapped. This is what people don't get about church, and I know they don't mean to, and I understand that, but a pastor is one person. Listen, I have never put myself on a pedestal and said, "Ah, you got. If I don't pray for you, you can't be saved. If I don't preach," I've never done that stuff. You can only grow so far. One person, you're just going to kill them. So what? Jesus couldn't get to everybody else. He was handicapped because he was trapped in the confines of a body. He could not evangelize to the world. It wasn't possible. So what did he do? He began to impart into 12 trusted individuals. Every day for years, he imparted into them, and he imparted and he spoke into them. And then finally the time would come when he would have to finish this reunification or begin the process of reunification, which only could happen upon his death. You can't be reunified to Christ without his death. How are you going to tell me Jesus lives in you if you don't have his spirit in you? It's impossible. Now watch what he couldn't do in the flesh, which is get to more than just a handful of people. He could in the spirit. And so in order to reunify humanity to God, in order to undo the sin that was perpetrated in the garden, in order to break the curse of man's sin, he now goes to his grave. He's resurrected. And before he ascends, he says, "All right." He said, "I'm about ready to reunify all of humanity with me. It's going to begin with 120 people's obedience. Go and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. John baptized with repentance, but you shall be baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from this." And so they go. You can just stay there for a minute if you don't mind. What Jesus could not do in the flesh, he was ready to do in the spirit. You see, the Holy Ghost isn't about speaking in tongues. Now, if you want to ask me if I believe that tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost, yes. Someone put it on my social media page. I didn't comment to him. I didn't want to pick a fight. When you're a believer, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you are not. Oh, you don't believe me? Acts chapter 19. The disciples, the Christians of John the Baptist, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's not my words. So he knew just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're filled. Now watch this. Everything in the book of Acts is it's the actions of the church. It's the church in action. That's what it stands for. So when I read the book of Acts, I see what the church looks like in action. And so what happens, you have Peter and Paul, namely those two, but others, who begin to go throughout the land, and they're only coming to the Christians. They're not coming to sinners. Peter preaches to the crowd outside, which is probably the closest thing that he got to sinners. And he said, "This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. Thus saith the Lord, in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." He said, "This is what's happening right now." They're not drunk. They're not crazy like you think they are, because everybody thinks Pentecostals are crazy. And I'm not saying you got to be Pentecostal to be filled with the Spirit. Not even close. Anybody that wants it. Anybody that's willing. Anybody that desires. Now listen to me. But I am telling you, in order to be reconciled to God, you must be filled with His Spirit. Now, they go in the upper room. Outpouring happens. Peter goes out and he preaches. When he got done, the Bible says they baptized 3,000 believers that day. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, the Samaritan believers were already baptized in the name of the Lord. And he prayed for them that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a mighty man, the Bible says, in God, a praying man, a preacher. And the Bible says Peter went to him and his family and began to preach to them. And while he was preaching, these Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Jews that stood by, they're like, what is going on here? Why are these believers not sinners? Because in the book of Acts, when you see the church in action, they're going to all the believers. And they're saying, I'll help you in a second. And so when they got done, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, then Peter said this, should any forbid that these should be water baptized, as were we? And he commanded them. He commanded them. Those are not my words. If you reject them, you must tear them out of your Bible. And then you must go to the book of Revelations in the very last chapter, the last couple of verses. And it says, if any man add unto or take away from the words of this book, I will take away his name from the book of life. Am I in the book? Anybody want to tell me I'm out yet? Raise your hand and you tell me. You can correct me in front of this whole church. I'm in it. That's why. Where was I? So then he preaches to the Gentiles. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were baptized. Then you read chapter 11. You'll see where Paul, after he went to, his name Ananias. He went to him and he prayed. And the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost and he baptized Paul. And then Paul, now he goes off to the Gentiles. He goes off to the disciples of John. He comes across the disciples of John. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now listen, y'all be mad at me if I did that. You walk through the door on Sunday morning and you're like, hey, Pastor, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, hello to you too. Well, no, I don't know what you're talking about. How were you baptized? So Paul did. You know why? Because that was Paul's only mission there. His only mission was to take this reconciliation message to all the people of God. Because they were still trapped on the John the Baptist ministry, and that was a trap. It was God. It was a bridge. Nothing more. Watch this. Put Acts chapter 19, verse 4 on the screen. After he asked them about baptism, he said, John verily or only or simply baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Here's what he said. Watch this. He said, John, oh, you're baptized by John. Oh, God, no, John only taught the people to believe in Jesus. That message is still real in a lot of our churches today. They only teach the people to believe in Jesus. And then what happened? Flip the page. And when they heard this, they debated and said, I don't agree with you, and I don't think that's necessary. And that's your doctrine. That's not mine. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my Bible and yours. Let me read the Word of God. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you. What would you say, you smart people? You're probably the smarter construction guy up here that I know of anyway. Somebody might be mad at me for saying that because they think they're smarter than you. You guys can bicker about that later. Would you say this is about 35 feet between here and the baptismal tank? Okay, I'm pretty smart too. I'm not going to let 35 feet come between me and Jesus. Hey, you want to, hold on a second. You want to believe it don't matter? That's fine by me. I go jump in that tank right now because all I want to do is get to heaven. There ain't nothing going to stand between me. If you want to say it, that's fine. I'm going to go. Water's warm. There ain't no reason not to. Let's do this thing because I want to be reconciled to Jesus. I'm almost done. I got to hurry. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. If you've never been taught this, that's two things that happened. That's not one. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's the very confusion that Paul was trying to clear up that people are still confused with today. And when a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he's not speaking to men, but to God. Howbeit in the spirit he's speaking mysteries. But when a man prophesieth, that is the gift of tongues, the prophecy. He speaketh unto men to their edification, exhortation, and comfort. When a man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself, not the church body, himself. Again, you got to open up your Bible. It's there. I did not make this stuff up. But when a man prophesies, he edifies the church. You see, when the gift of tongues comes, the message to the church, that's the gift of tongues of prophecy. And that's what's interpreted. What happened here is they spoke with tongues, personal edification, and they prophesied. The gift of the Spirit began to move. Now, I'm off base, but I'm trying to help somebody. Please don't fight me. I'm only reading the book. That's it. And I had a man argue with me once, told me John 3:5. I said, what's it mean? Well, born of the water, you know, that's when you're born. I never heard that mess till I got out here. Never till I got to Ashtabula County. This place is a foreign land. I'm just telling you that much right now. I love it. I'm still here, but it's a foreign land. Well, when you're born of the water, that's when you're born. Someone told me that the other day. I said, really? How many of you ever taught that? Would you raise your hand if you taught that? When you're born of the water, that's when you're born of your mother's womb. Well, thank God it's not. Okay. Whew, I feel like I was going to have to fight a little bit. So I said to them, I know you guys are standing. Just hang on. You're all right. So I said to them, I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in forced baptism? Absolutely not. Well, wouldn't that be forced baptism? Not only is it forced baptism, but you're forcing an infant who has no knowledge and is in complete innocence to be baptized. What about those who come through C-section? Are they never baptized? And then let's forget that silliness just for a second and just tell me, why in the world would Jesus be talking about it if you're already baptized at birth? Why even talk about it? He said, except the man is born again of the water and the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, hold on. Watch this. Is there anybody, I'm trying to finish, but is there anybody in this building that believes that anyone should be forced to have a relationship with the Lord? If you believe that, raise your hand. You believe that we should force people to have a relationship with Jesus? No. Okay. So you tell me it's got to be by choice, right? Exactly. It's all choice. Every bit of it's choice. Every bit of it's a decision. You've got to want it. You have to want to be reconciled to God. Now, I got a little bit off base here trying to fix some mess up, trying to help clear it up, because I want you to have clarity of mind. So the simplicity of it is in the garden, sin broke union with man and God. God had to cast them out because he had to say, you can't be in church this week and be out of church the rest of the week and come to church on Wednesday and go back into the world and do the things of the world on Thursday and then come back on Sunday and pray through, and you can't go out drinking on Saturday night, right, Patrick? He didn't do that, just for the record. But he knows what I'm talking about. Sunday school teachers out buying their beer on Saturday night, and that's a fact, and going and teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning. He said, no, so I'm going to prove to you. I'm going to put a flaming sword that spins, and I'm going to put cherubims here to teach you that you cannot just come and go. The only way you can get back in is when God, through his master plan, reconciles us to himself. And so the entire new process is about being reconciled to God. He made a way and said, if you want out, I'll give you a way of escape. But you've got to be born again. Watch this. You got to get the terminology here. Adam and Eve were in innocence. They were like babies. But when they sinned, their eyes were open. They became like people. So I've got to make sure you can be reborn all over again so you can be in innocence again. The only way you can be reconciled with God is in innocence. That's why stubbornness can't reconcile you with God. Defying truth can't reconcile you with God. Listen to me. I don't get it. If I'm sitting here today and I've never been baptized and I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, but I'm sitting here and I was one of you. We weren't raised in church. We went to Sunday school as kids, but we weren't raised in this thing. If I'm sitting there, you know what I'm doing at the end of service? I'm getting up, nice gloves, and I'm walking up there, and I'm saying, who can take me to the watery grave? Because I want to go. Oh, you don't have to go. I don't care if I got to go. I want to go. I want to go. I don't care what you say. I want to go. And then I'm going to say, I've never received this thing. I prayed for 9 months for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. I prayed for 9 months. 9 months. Well, why would God make you wait 9 months? He doesn't make you wait at all. Watch this. Hang on a second. Let me read a couple of my final notes and I'm done. So God made it personal after the sin of Adam. So he created a plan so precise. Watch this. He took hundreds of thousands of years to put into motion. Why is that? Well, first of all, you have to have willing parties. You got to have a willing virgin, not somebody who says, I don't want no part of that. No, thanks. I'm living my life the way I want to. You got to have somebody. So God looked down in time. Watch this. And he gets a couple hundred or thousand years. Oh, okay, I can use him. And he gets a couple hundred years down. Oh, I can use her. And when this is done now, my seed, spiritual seed, will be passed down through Abraham, through Jesus. And now I create the perfect vessel to perpetrate my master plan to reconcile humanity to God. Sin is that dark, is that ugly, that it takes a perfect plan to reckon. So you see, you can't just brush sin off. Don't work that way. You can't just, oh, well, God understands. Yeah, he does. That's why he had a plan. So watch. So he finds the right vessel to pass his DNA through. He embodies himself in Christ, still unable to be everything to everyone because he was limited by his flesh. So he suffers and dies to reconcile, which means to come in agreement to humanity. I got to come in agreement with him. We got to understand that we're on the right path here. This is necessary. And then he enacted reunification through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Now he's able to reunify all of humanity when he fills you with the Spirit. And now we're reunified again with God. Are you with me? So then he finally brings mankind back to the beginning, where they were in the garden before the sin. It was his master plan. Would you stand with me? I know you guys are wondering if you can be seated. No, just kidding. If you want to be seated, you can. No, just stay there. That way it's easier for people to walk up. Listen, this is not hard. There's not one thing hard about it. Not one thing. I want it. Now, I understand. I'm going to talk to you for a minute. You said you've been talking for a couple minutes already. I just need a few more. I understand many people feel unworthy or undeserving. And I understand that many people live under the weight of their sin or the weight of their decisions. But you see, the whole point of this reunification process, the whole point of it is to make a way of escape. God says, I understand you can't be perfect, but I can put perfection in you that will then help you to be perfected. You say, but we can't. Yes, you can. And then he said, and then I'm going to create five fingers of the ministry to come along beside you to help you. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, because I know you can't do it by yourself. So I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to fill you with my Spirit, and then I'm going to give you some help to perfect you in your flesh so you can be a chosen vessel that God can use for his glory. If you have a desire, if you have not been reunified with God, I want you to spread out, if you would, men. And I want you to come to this front right now. Do not feel intimidated. Do not feel nervous. Do not feel anything. I want you to come. If you feel like I need God to refill me with his Spirit, it's been too long since I have enjoyed the power and the presence of God. And yes, the Bible calls it a renewing of the Holy Ghost. You need him to renew it and refresh and renew and refresh and renew and refresh. in essence, Will, when you come, what you're saying is, I'm not perfect, but I want to be reunified with God. I want to be reunified. He already reconciled the situation. He already reconciled it when Jesus showed up. But now reunification begins when He fills you and fills you and fills you and fills you full of His Spirit. And then what happens? Now growth begins. And now we begin to grow in Him. And we come along the fivefold ministry and we allow ministry to be imparted into our lives. We allow words. We allow preaching to be imparted into us, which then strengthens us. It encourages us. I wish somebody really believed what I'm telling you today. Because I'm telling you right now, oh God, help me. If somebody would really trust the Lord today, He'll completely liberate you from yourself. He'll completely liberate you. I wanted you to understand how long this plan took to get you from the garden until now. I wanted you to understand how much plan and detail went into it. I wanted you to understand how much reconciliation means to God, that He was willing to put a plan together over thousands of years to bring you to the place where you could be reunified and reconciled with Him. I need some praying people now to fill this altar. I need some praying folks to fill this altar right now. Now listen to me. When they come to you, if you have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to tell somebody, say, I want you to pray for me, and I'm going to believe the Lord to do it right now. I'm going to believe for Him to do it today. Do not leave here thinking you're going to continue the same way you came. You will not, because God will not let you, because He hears you. And He'll come up beside you because He knows we cannot be perfected in ourselves. So He gives us help to help perfect us along the way. I want you to look around. Make sure everybody up front here. I need more folks up here. Make sure. Come on, you guys. Come on. I want you to get around people. I want you to gather around people. Come on, Elisha, guys. I want you to gather around people. They're going to sing. I want some people of faith to come and pray. I want some people of faith to come alongside these that are up here today. God will bless you in the process. Come on, somebody. I want some people of faith that will say, I want to enjoy the long-standing promises of God. Oh, Jesus, help us right now, I pray. Help us right now, I pray. Help us right now, I pray. Let Your presence, oh God, and let Your angels begin to walk up and down these aisles. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. First thing I want you to pray before you sing. Listen to me. Stop for 1 second. I want all eyes closed. If you're up here to be prayed for, we're going to pray together right now a prayer of repentance. Let's do this together. You don't have to say my exact words, but you just got to feel my spirit. Lord, I want my life to be changed. I want You, Jesus, to fill me full. Lord, I want to walk this road. I want to talk this talk. I want to live this life in a manner that pleases You, Jesus. And I want You to help me now. I need You to strengthen me. I will not deliberately go back to the things that You rescued me from. I might fall from time to time, but send somebody along that will help me. Send somebody along that will pray for me. Send somebody along that will strengthen me. Lay your hands on somebody in front of you right now, if you would. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray right now, let it be. Jesus, I pray, let it be. Let it be. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Come on, somebody. Say to yourself, I will not go home the way I came. I will be changed.
If you walked in bound, you're going to walk out free. Just the mention of His name. just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Everything can change. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Everything can change.
Somebody out there, start to speak his name. Would you do that? Speak his name. Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Jesus. His name is 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 Jesus. If you walked in heavy, if you walked in heavy, you're gonna walk out light. If you walked in weary, you're gonna be alright. It's just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Walked in down. If you walked in down, you're gonna walk out of. If you walked in empty, he's gonna fill your cup. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Everything can change.
Come on, the Bible says confession is made with the mouth. Open up your mouth and call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon him. Call upon him. He'll step in. Hey.
If you walked in broken. If you walked in broken, you're gonna walk out home. If you walked in lost, he's gonna save you. If you walked in broken. If you walked in broken, you're gonna walk out home. If you walked in lost, he's gonna save your soul. Cause just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, everything can change. Just the mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Everything can change. Everything can change. Jesus. His name is 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 Jesus.
Hold on. Do not open your eyes. I want you to keep praying. Now you listen to me. All of hell is trying to fight this place today. I need you to get behind me and push in prayer. I need you to push in prayer. I need somebody to cry out to God. I need somebody to cry out to heaven right now. Cry out for somebody. There you go. I feel like people are starting to get some liberty. You decide whose report are you going to believe. You're going to believe the word of God, or you're going to believe the lies of the adversary. I believe Jesus. I believe the word. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just the mention of his name, everything will change, just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, just the mention of his name, everything will change, just the mention of his name. Just a mention of his name. Just a mention of his name.
Change. There you go.
Change.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus.
Oh, it's the name of Jesus. It's the name. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Yes, it's healing in the name. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes, his name is Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Kenny, come up here and pray for us right now. Come on, hurry up. Keep praying. Don't you stop praying. We're not giving up today. I want you to pray right now.
Hallelujah. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you, Lord, have purposed this moment right now. You have considered us, Lord. And for thousands of years, Lord, you have ordained and moved pieces, Lord, so that we can come to this moment, Lord, and receive all that you have for us, Lord. Receive the healing, Lord, from our past. Receive your spirit, Lord, to fill us and to bring us joy and peace and reunification with your spirit, Lord. To be able to come before the holy God, the most upright God, the perfect God, and receive your spirit and receive your voice into our lives, Lord. Receive your guidance and your ministering spirit, Lord, to give us direction and hope and joy, to give us, Lord, love and compassion as it surpasses all understanding, Lord. Your word is now in us, Lord. And in faith, Lord, we claim our healing. We claim the reception of the Holy Ghost through evidence of speaking in tongues. We claim, Lord, a freedom in our mind, a freedom in our spirit, a freedom in our homes and in our families. We claim it, Jesus. Oh, come on, church, keep pushing. If you haven't received what God has for you here, push, because he has it for you. We receive, Lord. We receive healing, Lord, in our minds, Lord. We receive healing, Lord, in our body. Yes, Jesus.